Whenever you're around them, it's really hard not to stop and just take a quick look. So adorable. Their charming personalities just draw you in, and there's a part of you that just wants to take a hold of them and make them part of your life. They go right to your heart. At the very same time, there's another part of your heart that just breaks, because the longer you look at them, the more you sense that there's this wall between your worlds. Your world is so warm and full and free, and in their world it seems so cold and void and trapped. And so in the end, what you end up doing is you give a smile of pity and you just walk away. Does that description ring any bells for you? That description is what definitely happens to our family when we walk into PetSmart and we walk by the pet adoption center in PetSmart. Oh, they're so adorable and they just go to your heart, but what do? Every time? We smile and we walk away. But I want you to just discard that picture for a second. I think that fits. What if it's a different picture? Couldn't that same description also describe how it feels when the outside world looks in at a Christian living their faith in Jesus? You know what I mean? They look at people who drive through the snow on a Sunday morning and give up their Sunday morning to be here around God's Word. They give a portion of their hard-earned income to support gospel ministry. They really do feel badly about doing the wrong things. Try to put others first, and it's adorable. It's charming. And quite often, it draws people in. People are curious, and they wonder, and they want that, but ultimately, they also have this sense that the Christian faith is a wall that keeps Christians from a full and a free life. So what do? Ultimately, they give us a pitying smile, and they walk away, and they say, oh, those poor Christians. Now, maybe as I was talking about that, that wasn't what came to your mind first. But doesn't it fit? It's a description that fits well passing a pet adoption center, and it's a fitting description of people walking by and looking at Christians from the outside in. Aw, those poor people. Just curious if you've ever felt that as you live your faith, not here in church, but outside these walls. You ever felt people looking at you like that? Or better yet, maybe more personally, have you ever felt that way? Oh, this is hard. Poor me. It's interesting that as we start our series on the Savior's sermon, this is the concept that Jesus starts out with. What is the description of a follower of Jesus? What's the best way we can be described? And it's interesting, as he starts out this way, he doesn't use a word like pity. He doesn't talk about pity. In fact, he uses a word that's completely the opposite. He uses a word, blessed. Today we're going to see that we are very blessed. So I want you to think about that as you listen to Jesus' words again. We're going to speak these words responsively. So I'll do the parts that are in italics, and you do the parts that are in bold. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed. Over and over we said it. And that's the attractive part that I was talking about before. Because it doesn't matter if you're in church or if you're outside of the church world, blessed is a word that you want describing you. Everybody wants to be blessed, right? So what is it about Christians and the Christian life that could be attractive? Well, it's pretty attractive, this idea that the all-powerful God is the one who's taking care of you. It's pretty attractive that the one who holds all things, all the riches of the earth, he's the one who promises to provide for you. It's pretty pretty attractive that the one who turned water into wine, the one who raised the dead to life, the one who healed all diseases, he's the one who comes to you and he says, ask me for anything, and it's yours. That's attractive. Who wouldn't want that? And so we might think, all right, yeah, Christians are blessed. Let's check this out. But as Jesus describes the blessed Christian life, did you hear any of those examples? Did you hear anything about that? Even a hint of that? No. What kind of words did you read? Poor. Those who mourn. The meek. The hungry and thirsty. Do those words, honestly, sound like they belong with the word blessed? No way. Right? And so that's where often the world and sometimes even our own hearts look at that and say, no thanks. And walk away. It's easy to see why, too, isn't it? Because the world has this idea of what it means to be blessed. And the world always puts the word blessed with greatness. If you can just work hard enough, if you can just accomplish these things, if you can just believe strong enough, you will be blessed. That's the world's thinking, and how often do we often fall into that? So Jesus here takes that idea and he flips it on its head. He shows us the flaw in thinking that that is what blessed means. And to be honest, it all has to do with our attitude. If we think greatness is what leads to blessing, then take a look at God's word. What is God's standard of greatness? Just look at his commands. In his commands, he asks that we always give him glory, that we always honor his name, that we always remember his word and keep it and treasure it, that we always respect our authorities, that we always help people in their bodily needs, that we always honor the marriage bed, that we always respect other people's things, that we always lift up and build up people's reputations, that we always are satisfied with what we have. So as you think about those things, can a person truly offer God greatness and then receive blessing? Do you think you can? We know we can. And so if that's the standard, then we shouldn't expect blessing. In fact, the Bible says the very opposite. In the Bible it says this, cursed, not blessed, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Blessing is not based on greatness in God's world. That's why Jesus uses these different words. He uses different words in connection with blessing. Do you want to know who's blessed in God's world? It's the poor in spirit. Those who recognize when they look at God's commands, they have nothing. They're in spiritual poverty. Those who recognize that. You want to know who's blessed in God's world? It's those who mourn. The ones who look at that fact and are sad over their failures, who grieve over the effects of sin in their life. You want to know who's blessed in God's world? It's not those who are flexing their muscles and think they have all the power. It's the meek. Those who don't base their salvation on anything in themselves, but instead completely trust in God's might and his strength and his love. In God's world, it's those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, those who long for what God gives. Those are the ones who are blessed. It still doesn't compute, does it? So I'm going to use a really silly illustration. See how nervous I can make you guys. So I want you to think of it like this. How can those be blessed, right? So if you have a glass full of nasty, toxic, whatever, it's already full. What happens if I start pouring water in here? I can see it in your faces. Don't do it! It's a wood table. We got a nice wood floor. Don't do it. Why? Because you can't pour anything else in there. It's already full. Right? So I won't. What if you have an empty container? Well, then you can fill it right up to the brim. No problem. So think about that as what God is saying here. If we are already full of ourselves, if we're already full of our own strength and this greatness that we think we have and looking for blessing, God cannot and he will not fill us with his blessings. But if we have these attitudes, in other words, when we empty ourselves of our own pride and our own strength and our own spiritual entitlement, God is able and willing and eager to fill us with all of his blessings. And that's what this is about. Look at how he fills you so that you are blessed. You are filled with the kingdom of God because Jesus kept all the commandments with greatness, and now that's your record. And your failing record, Jesus died for that. It's paid for. You can be filled with comfort at all times because Jesus has forgiven your sins. He assures you of his love and his abiding presence. It may not look like it on the outside, but you really do inherit the earth because the God of the universe is preserving you. And what is he doing? He is ruling everything on this earth just for you, his dear child. And it doesn't really matter what you have or what you don't have. God assures you, you are satisfied. Every time you come and you remember your baptism and all the promises God gives you in your baptism, every time you gather here or anywhere around the Word, every time you come to the Lord's Supper for strength, he fills you up. The world doesn't see that, and so often we don't, but Jesus wants to point that out to you today. You're not to be pitied. You can look at yourself and know, wow, I'm really blessed because of Jesus. Not everybody goes to PetSmart or the Pet Adoption Center and walks away like I do. Some people actually adopt a pet. And one mom, recently I saw on the internet, her heart melted and she brought the puppy home to the family. But it wasn't like she expected. That cute, adorable puppy that she fell in love with wasn't so afterward. In fact, this is her quote. We recently adopted an 8-month-old female retriever lab mix, and she was instantly well-mannered, but now she's nipping and biting at my youngest every time she's near him. That's not good, is it? Why do I talk about that? Well, I remember at the beginning I said that that description of going buy a pet in PetSmart, it kind of fits people looking at Christians. Now I'm wondering if at times this description also fits us Christians. Here's what I mean. When we are filled with those Christ-like attitudes, those Christ-filled attitudes, people are drawn in and they're curious. But do we stop there? Are we satisfied with the inner things and we get lazy with our Christ-like actions? In other words, do our words, dear Christians, ever nip? Do our actions ever bite and harm? Jesus wants us to think about that, so the Savior's sermon talks about that too. Let's read the last of the blessed statements together. Blessed are the merciful.
For they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers.
For they will be called sons of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Quite a list too, isn't it? Now, I just feel it's important to say this as we talk about our actions, so we remember what they are. Our actions aren't what make up for sin. They're not what make us acceptable to God or pleasing to God. Our actions are just this great big thank you to God for all he's done for us. So they're not for show. They're not to earn a reward. Our actions as Christians simply display who we are in Christ. What has Christ made us to be? What has he already done for us? And when you look at these words in the sphere of that concept, you know what kind of actions we're talking about. Think about how merciful Jesus was to you, even though you didn't deserve it. And I didn't deserve it. He forgives us. Through baptism, when he brought us to faith, he gave us this brand new heart, a pure heart before God. And so we can have a pure thought life. And we can speak and act from a pure heart. God made us Jesus made us at peace with God the Father. And so we are people of peace. And we can live like people of peace here at St. John's and in our community. And yeah, Jesus suffered. Because he was Jesus, because he was the Christ, the Son of God, he suffered, but that suffering brought us glory. And so as we go through any sufferings, especially for him, we can still rejoice because nobody can separate us from God's love. Those are the basic concepts, those are the general ideas of what Jesus is talking about here with the actions. I bet you want to know what are some specifics. How do they look? Well, I'm going to put that on you. I want you to go and finish the sermon this week. I want you to go out there and you put the specifics on what Jesus is talking about. You see, I'm pretty sure that as you go about your business here in town or all over this week, if your eyes are open, you're going to see opportunities to show mercy, to forgive somebody who sinned against you. Maybe help somebody even if they don't deserve it. As you hold your phone, as you binge on Netflix, as you look through the internet, there's probably a lot of opportunities to use that pure heart, to keep your thought life pure, and to speak and to act in purity. As we go out of church today, you're going to interact with one another. As you go out into your community, you're going to interact with people and you're going to talk to each other. You're going to talk about your church. You're going to talk about the gospel. There's a lot of opportunities to be a peacemaker. And I know as you do that, some people are going to give you funny looks and they're going to roll their eyes and they might even say some off-color remarks to you. It's okay. You know what you do? You give a big smile because you know that your reward isn't here. Your reward is in heaven. Go and finish the sermon, because as you display those Christ-like actions, you know how Jesus describes you? You're blessed. People can look at Christians with pity. Sometimes we can pity ourselves. Oh, those poor Christians. I pray that as Jesus started his sermon today, he's helped you see what he sees. You're not to be pitied. No, as you're filled with Christ-filled attitudes, and that displays itself in Christ-like actions, there's just one word to describe you. Blessed. Amen.